Gathered as we are tonight, it's not the first Christmas Eve that the world has been in such turmoil. There have been other exceedingly frightful times when people like us and people not so like us have gathered, sensing the world, their personal or the wider world, teetering on disaster. Which is not to make light of the seriousness of our own time. Without me having to list them, we know too well the tragic losses, the horrors that cause us to tremble, or to weep, or to sink into despair. So here we are tonight, many of us kind of haunted by the fear that we've gone too far. Yet hoping against hope that maybe, just maybe, there's still some possibility of redemption. We come into this place this evening where the story of this night is set in another dark time. And it takes us to the crude animal shelter where we are met by a tiny, vulnerable newborn baby. Well, what hope is that? What good is this for the life of the world? If we were to stay with the story of this child, we would discover that what meets us here tonight is something revolutionary in the quiet. If instead of walking away despondent, we were with the likes of the shepherds to enter into that unlikely birthing room and not worry about the dung on our feet or the straw sticking to our knees, and we bend down low to see this vulnerable little baby, we would be looking level-eyed into the face of God. If we stay with this story of this child, we find out that this is God's word of love come to us in flesh. The word that was with God in the beginning, the word that was God in the beginning, the word that fired the universe into being, that from the beginning desired life in relationship. This word of love now shows up in human form, climbing into our skin to share with us the fullness of our humanity. There, in vulnerable flesh, God's life-creating word of love greets us tonight, announcing, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. If we stay with the story of this Jesus child, we will eventually see him in body and hear him say some of the most outrageous revolutionary things. Don't be afraid. Follow me. What do you want me to do for you? Let anyone without sin cast the first stone. Come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Love your enemies. You will do even greater things than me. You feed them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Peace be with you. If we stay with the story of this Jesus child, not only will we learn from him the way of love, what it looks like, how it works its way out in our tender, vulnerable flesh, how it makes its way into the most unlikely places. Not only will we learn from him the way of love, we will discover that finally this love is more enduring than we could have ever imagined, such that not even the worst violence we commit will ultimately finish it, destroy it. And the wonder that greets us tonight, if we were to stay with this story of the Jesus child, is perhaps even more wild than that. Back to that moment when in the stable we stoop low to look level-eyed into the face of God. What we are given to see is not something unrecognizable, but an uncanny resemblance of ourselves. This is what comes to break through to us tonight. Just when we may have imagined ourselves too far gone, in touch as we are with our capacity to inflict such harm to others, to ourselves, to the planet, to the heart of God, Jesus comes to reveal us to ourselves, to give us to see the image of God in ourselves. Born to save us, we find ourselves singing in some of those Christmas carols tonight. Save, from the same root word as in the word salve, as in soothe, heal. He comes to restore us, to return us to our God-given selves. He comes to ignite our deepest essence, our capacity to bear the beams of love. He comes as one of us that we might see and know again our worth. You see, the real reason for the season is not Jesus by himself, but the revelation of this great love embedded in human flesh. This love that by its very nature won't be contained but pushes out, finds its way into some of the most unlikely places, crude and violent places, that they might become places of holy encounter. Here's just one sampling of such a thing. One person's recent experience. Today, he writes, I help distribute gift bags to all the inmates at the state prison. 9 of us greeted them and gave them the packages, and we all shook their hands, all 1,380 of them. To greet 1,380 people, to encounter such a wave of humanity, eye to eye, hand to hand, hit me deeply. They were in all states of age, race, health, stature, personality. Some were meek, some imposing, some fit, some in shambles, some appreciative, some aloof. But they are all neglected, condemned, and treated as less than human. One guy said, this is the only touch of normalcy all year. It took us a couple of hours, but for each of them, it lasted less than 20 seconds. As they filed one by one, and I greeted them and shook their hands, I wished I could pack so much more blessing and hope and dignity and the promise that God is with them than was possible in one quick God bless you. How powerful a single moment can be. I prayed that somehow they might even unconsciously behold some grace, experience some love. It was like serving communion, one after another of God's beloved people coming by, each with their own story, their own needs, wounds, sins, and gifts, each getting a little symbolic gift in a brief holy moment, a gift of pure love, no matter their past. You hope they get it. And then he wraps it up. Joseph was asked to trust that Mary's child was of God. We too are asked to trust that God is present and at work in everyone we meet. I know a few of these guys have done terrible things, but God is still in them. They still have something holy going on in them. Everyone has a holy child inside, everyone. Some of us are pretty rough mangers, but the child is holy. Few know it, but all are longing to know. Every holy child is longing to be loved. These encounters that reveal and reflect the truth of the beloved, they are happening everywhere. Not only, but perhaps most especially in the most unlikely places. Among the white helmets in Syria, those brave men and women who wade into the wreckage to care for the dead and the wounded. Among those fearlessly speaking out against the poisoning of bees. Among those who dare to show up at a neighbor's door when tragedy has struck so very close to home. This is the thing about the mystery we celebrate tonight. It keeps on happening. This life-changing love emerging into our world in and through Jesus, whose way and spirit among us stirs up the embers of that powerful love within the lives of ordinary people. Me. You. Such that we find ourselves moved to reach out in generosity and care, or to stand in solidarity in the face of fear or hatred, or extend mercy where harshness or calamity threaten to destroy. It keeps on happening, this bodying forth of God's love in places where it's needed. This is the night we let go in wonder and take our lead from the shepherds who make a move. Trusting a powerful, great goodness indeed is pulsing in and through God's earthy, material world. And our part is to receive and to share in it, that it might become us and we become it. So powerful a love. May it be. Amen.